The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Winners and sinners on The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Ger Gilroy from Off the Ball is with me, as is Saoirse Hanley, a journalist with the Irish Independent, picking winners and sinners from the week gone by. Are you glad we invited you up here to the roof?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Thrilled,
isn't it?
Actually,
I do like the way you can click your fingers and, you know, the entire organisation jumps to your wind. Boston last week, Toronto, you know, no show for us. We weren't required. And then it's like, I'm going up to the roof.
You know,
the
trash heap has spoken.
Yeah, I mean, do you not wield this power?
No, I don't. No.
Despite your longevity.
I know. It's wasted.
Yeah, it is. You've truly wasted your power.
Maybe you've gone on TV, it's gone to your head.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's the TV
start
thing.
Start making demands.
Yeah,
he's got
demands.
A rider downstairs.
Diva-like.
This is my last show, I think.
I've got someone. Yeah, I've got someone who manages my riders. I don't even
do
it myself.
Clicking. Don't worry about it. That's just him asking for a drink then next.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. Seriously, that's a good point.
We have no drinks.
No,
oh my God. So if management are listening, can they please sort that out? Anyway, listen, we have decamped, if you're just joining us on the show, to the roof, because we're in a sealed studio. There's not even a window in it, which is kind of depressing on particularly good weather days. So we've managed to make it up to the roof of News Talk Towers. So a bit of a buzz in the background. You might hear a few seagulls. Inevitably we'll hear seagulls at some stage over the next 40 minutes or so. But listen, we'll kick things off with our winners of the week. Ger, who's your winner of the week?
So my winner of the week, the news came through today that there's like 149 beaches and 10 marinas have been awarded a blue flag. Basically, it's Ireland. Ireland are the winners.
Ireland's your winner.
Yeah, essentially, like, our beaches are great. When the weather's like this, this is legitimately the best little country in the world, to coin a phrase. And we should sometimes just, you know, take a moment to pat ourselves on the back and get out and enjoy it. Because too many people are like, well, this weather's not going to last. This is our summer. It's already over. And you're like, let's just cool the jets.
Oh, is there not a bit of you that's worried that we're using up our good weather too early in the year?
Well, you were the one who correctly reminded us all that last year was unparalleled misery.
Oh, so bad.
From the summer, the whole year.
The whole year, the spring. I remember flying in to Dublin Airport in the middle of the summer, and you could look down over the fields in North Dublin, and there was just these huge patches where nothing was grown because farmers couldn't actually get crops in the ground. It was so miserable in the spring. And then it stayed miserable. During the misery, we kept thinking, well, at least we'll have a good summer maybe on the back of this. And it just never got good. It was terrible. Terrible. Yeah.
Do you remember one of the great COVID conspiracies were that they'd fixed the weather? Do you remember that was it? I'm like, well, if they were able to do it then, I'd like to see them. Please wield that power again. But there was a period there where it looked like we were going to have long, hot, baking summers and really cold winters. I understand that there are forces causing that, like, and not the government.
Chinese.
It's the Russian drones.
Maybe it's actually going to benefit us as a country to have some, and we should get ready for it. Like, we should, you know, build cities and society around the fact that it's going to be really hot in summer. Maybe get some air conditioning in some buildings. I know it's controversial. You think you don't need it, but then for the 4 weeks you do need it, you really need it. No one sleeps. And actually enjoy the fact that we have summers, and really hot summers and really cold winters. I'd be happy with that.
Would you, like, let's set aside then the reality of what's causing these weather changes for a moment. Let's just set that aside. Would you welcome that type of climate? A longer, hotter summer, but a colder winter?
I'm not good at that. I don't do well in extreme heat. I just, you know, you go on holidays and you're kind of full of the joys of spring or summer for the first day, and then after a while you're like, oh, I remember why I didn't like it this hot.
Oh,
or when you can't sleep. I am a little bit.
You're one of
this
those.
This is lovely,
it's
for me.
Too hot.
I love this now. This
it's
is perfect.
Too hot.
A little bit, yeah. I am a bit. I'm a bit of a downer on holidays.
Okay. But
I think what would happen is that we would acclimatise.
That's true.
We would get used to, like, it's 20 degrees, 22 degrees in the sun in days like today. And then in summertime, it would get to 30 and we'd be like, I can actually deal with this. Graduated as opposed to smack. You know the way the heat hits you when you get off.
Do you think, though, we'd acclimatise from a business? I think the economy would grind to a halt, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it?
Look at,
I mean, people are, look, we're meant to be working. We're on the roof.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I consider this work.
I think the entrepreneurial spirit that your show has shown today, I'd probably put this down to Claire, your producer, as opposed to you and clicking of the fingers. She's like, oh, we could do
that again.
I still
have no Aperol spritz.
I think we would find a way, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. It feels a little... I know we had Jim Elliot on the show earlier, the comedian, and he was making the point. It's like the 2 weeks before Christmas when the sun is shining.
And there's no work done.
People are in suits piled up outside the pubs in the middle
Friday
of the day
for like
when you know they're meant to be working.
Yeah.
But it's like... But everyone, even their employers, kind of just shrug it off and say, well, like, of course they're going to go to the pub. I mean, it's sunny out. Anyway, that is a worthy winner of the week, the entire country.
Yeah, come on, Ireland.
Who's your winner of the week?
I have another country to offer up as a winner this week, which is Malta. Which, as a Cork person, I'm keen to say Malta because my A's come out like that, but I have to sound very posh and say Malta.
Malta, bye.
Malta, I'm over in Malta. My brother was over in Malta, so we visited him a few years ago and it was lovely, but that's not my point that it's a nice place to visit, because it is. This week, or in the last few weeks, they have announced from the government that all schools, whether they are state schools or church schools or private schools, are offering free period products in their bathrooms now, and that's nationwide. So all of the young women and people who have periods in the country of Malta, when they go to school, can access the products, and that's huge, because A, that's expensive, and B, I just think it's another step for being pure normal. And like, I'm an adult who's had a period for many, many a year, and I still get caught unawares all the time, and it happens much more when you don't know what's happening and you can't predict it and you don't even know who you are or what your body's doing, and now they can all have a much easier time, and that's my winner.
And
that's
a
great
Malta win. An outlier in Europe in that sense?
No, there are a few that are picking up. I know Scotland is really big on that first, and it's kind of trickling into bits of the UK as well. We just don't have, like, there's huge move being done in Ireland, and there has been for years, to kind of create more of a kind of period equality, but it hasn't really hit the mainstream yet, in the sense that it's not in most schools. But you'll find, like, you go to pubs and stuff, and a lot of them will just have them in the bathroom, which is great. I'm currently on a mission to get them into my office, so that they're just there, because again,
are they not in your office?
No.
Oh, boo hiss the Irish independence. That's poor form, isn't it? They're here, they're in Bower Towers.
Do you have them here?
Yeah.
I'll do a roundup when I go down.
Yes, fill your pockets. Bring him back. Bring him back over to the Independent.
Yeah. We have a machine, but sure, whoever has cash anymore, just, you know, I wouldn't have a euro coin to stick in there. Like, so,
they charge you for them. So yeah,
those vending machine things, which I also think have not. All those machines.
Oh, don't say that too loud. If they hear that here in Bower, then stick them in the vending machine. Exactly.
Maybe
this
will be my campaign now. Maybe this will work. But there's definitely a move to make that more accessible for other countries. And I know that Scotland's big for it. Like, I was hiking in Scotland last year, and I was at this really remote, like, public toilet, and they had free period products in there. And I was like, if you can do it in this random remote part of the Highlands, you can do it in, like, you know, the school down the road.
Is Malta a nice country?
It's lovely. It's quite nice.
Never been.
It's lovely. It's very small, which is nice, because you can get around very easy. There's lovely islands to go to. Food was okay, I feel, but all the drinks were cheap and the weather was nice. And it's lovely. It's very...
It's like Cork, is it? Small, nice islands. The food is okay.
Food's lovely in Cork.
Yeah,
# English market. Don't worry about it. But nowhere is as good as Cork in the sunshine, especially.
Why don't we have it here? Is it a finance thing? Is it the lobby hasn't been strong enough? Why? Like, what's holding us back from just spending some money on this?
I would love to know, but if they could rustle up a few more extra money for women's health in general, that would be fantastic. But you would wonder, because, like, Ireland has come, like, a really long way in respecting, like, women's bodies and what they do and how to help that.
Except when it comes to wearing, you know, what you want, playing camogie.
Well, there is that. Yeah, if you can get abortions, but you can't wear a short to go onto the pitch. So I think there's, I don't know what it is, whether it's like. I think there's still a lot of shame built into it, and I think we're all still a bit kind of like, well, that's someone else's business, that I think we just don't have the kind of move to get it to happen. But I do think, like, even when we come to sportswear and the talk about, like, you know, I remember writing about a few years ago that, like, they had to stop working with, like, you know, just the tennis whites if you were in Wimbledon or whatever, because that's not practical.
Some counties voted against dark shorts as recently as 18 months ago. You're like, what are you doing?
This isn't
a vote.
No, that doesn't help anybody. No. Like, anyone, I used to taekwondo as a teenager, and that was like a white dobok, and like, you would just be in panic stations. But we had black trousers you could then buy, which was perfect. It was an easy fix.
What's the sense as to what direction that vote's going to go? Because we're talking about with Evanny Quillen was on yesterday, who obviously wants it to go one way, the way we all, I think, want it to go. But she was just making the point, you know, it's like a 2/3 majority you need.
Yeah, but
it's the same people who voted against it. But I mean,
it's the same people who voted against it who will say, oh, we didn't fully know exactly what everybody thought. So I disagree.
Do you think
with
there's
them,
enough sense there?
Yeah, you'd hope so. They had some weird plausible deniability, very implausible deniability the last time. Oh, I talked to a 12-year-old. They told me they were happy with it. It's like, well, I think it's very clearly now. As well, the other thing, there were two separate motions the last time.
Yeah,
it
confused
as far as
the issue.
It's going to be one motion. It shouldn't have confused the issue. Like,
it allowed
exactly.
those who were traditionalists
exactly.
to say it confused
oh,
the issue.
Oh, I didn't
issue.
Know. Exactly. Yeah. So, the implausible deniability. I suspect it'll be an overwhelming. And if it's not, it's one of the most embarrassing things that's ever happened in any sport ever. There's no excuse this time. They absolutely have to go for it. But I would say the sponsors will start pulling if they don't.
Oh, that's an idea,
and
isn't it?
That would have to be what happens next. And the players should go on strike. And the men have been very like, oh, we support the women, but they've done nothing.
Yeah.
They should legitimately
yeah.
do
yes,
something
that's
to
a
say,
good idea, actually.
We're not just pretending that we care
we're
about
just putting
this.
Putting up an Instagram post.
Exactly.
We're
yeah.
going to do
exactly.
something that actually jeopardizes us. Anyway, listen, there'll be plenty of coverage all week in the run up to that. Next week, in the meantime, Jordan Searshire, you're going to stay with me and we'll get the news headlines. Here's Bernie. Bernie, thank you very much. Jerry Gilroy from Off the Ball and Saoirse Hanley, journalist at the Irish Independent, are both still with me. Saoirse, who's your sinner of the week?
My sinner of the week is right in front of me. It's my phone. I've had enough of it. I want, I obviously like it and it costs a lot of money, so I don't want to get rid of it. But I spent last weekend in one of those like off-grid cabins where you just, like, your phone was into a lockbox. Yeah, I was taken away and they took only my phone. No, I was laughing because it's basically, there's a company called Samsu and it's a woman from Meath and she runs these kind of cabins and they're cropping up. She has one in Westmeath. I went to the one in Wicklow and I think there's plans for more. But I've been wanting to go for ages and ages and ages because I just love the concept. They're really kind of well kitted out. There's lots of Irish suppliers, it's gorgeous in there, but the idea is that your phone, everything is analog, so you grind your own coffee and it's all, you know, cassette tapes, which yes, I am old enough to have remembered, and before anyone gets that gag in that I'm not young enough to old enough to know about cassette tapes, and your phone goes away. Now I was saying to some friends and they thought, because it's mostly on like kind of farmer's land, or the landowner can kind of buy into just being the, you know, proprietor of the cabin, and my friends thought that you like handed your phone over to the farmer who like took it away for the weekend, and I was like, no, it just goes into a box and you can take it out of the box, it's fine. Like, I forgot the rules to Uno, which is really embarrassing because there's like two rules in the game of Uno, so we had to get the phone back out to Google that. But it was lovely and it really made me realize that I'm wasting so much time, which isn't exactly a surprise, but it was confronting to be without it for the weekend and be like, oh, this is actually lovely.
Was there a period of time where you were reaching for the phone just kind of automatically, you'd
yeah.
put your hand and kind of tap your pockets or something?
Yeah, there was a few times I was like, oh, I'm gonna make a coffee or whatever, and usually I would literally have TikTok on in the background while I do that, which is so bad. Or like brushing my teeth, I would do that. So like, to not be able to have that, even on the Saturday morning last week, I remember getting up to make coffee and looking out the window at this beautiful field and being like, and all these lovely woodlands in Wicklow,
and
I was like,
Instagram it.
Couldn't it? That was the other thing. All you want to do is and the weather
doesn't
was like
count.
This.
I don't believe a word you say. Wasn't on Instagram.
It was real. I didn't even take pictures of the lovely fire pit. We baked pizzas on a pizza stone. I swear, we were in the woods and there was deer. It was so cool.
No,
it was so nice. But
I have
no proof. It was just lovely and it was really nice. And it's funny because myself and my boyfriend came home and we were like, right, we're going to instigate this thing now where on an evening, if we're watching something together or we're chatting, the phone goes into a box for 2 hours. And at one point Dan, my boyfriend, was like, oh, you know, we're about to watch, I don't know, we're on a Game of Thrones watch at the minute, and he was like, oh, before an episode we'll put phones in the box now. And then both of us were kind of checking one thing, or, you know, got a text from someone, and then it never happened.
No.
And that was day one.
So day one, all those good intentions,
but eventually
abandoned.
It's going to happen. It was really nice. It made me realise I am just so attached to it. It's really bad.
Have you rules in your house around
yeah.
looking at phones, say, in front of the kids and things like that?
Oh, no. Maybe.
You have rules you impose on the children, but
oh,
you have
absolutely.
No rules on yourselves.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
That's,
okay.
That's the only way that works. Try and keep it away from, like, mealtimes, 100%.
Yeah.
Doesn't always work. Like, work is busy. There is always stuff
yeah.
happening. And I'm trying to turn my notifications off. I turn my Teams notifications off because it wasn't working this week, and it's a transformative thing.
Oh yeah,
like it, because that's the one that you feel you have to respond to, mm. and then you realise
I don't use it.
You don't actually.
What's that thing where you're intentionally stupid? What's they call it?
Weaponized
incompetence. I have that around Teams. I say I can't get it on my phone. I can't access it outside the office.
Do you know what I mean?
And your producer's delighted.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm refusing to make eye contact with her. I mean,
Donald Trump is.
I've been
on
maintaining
line,
this. Like, I've been maintaining this now for quite a few years. No, Teams. I've got this make. A phone, it's like a bit of fruit on the back of it. I'm not sure, is it kind of an unusual make, but I can't get Teams on it. Anyway,
And sorry, do you remember anything from last week then? Because I take photographs of stuff so that then I can scroll back and go, oh, I remember I was there.
But
that
you actually
happens.
Scroll back. Like I do, when I take I a screen grab like, and I'm like, oh, that's a good story now for the show. And I have hundreds of these screen grabs. I'm not sure what they are.
Well, that's the thing. I remember, like, I am kind of thinking, what did I do for 3 days? Like, we did go out for a hike and stuff, and there was loads of, we were constantly lighting fires. Because if you want to use the sauna, light a fire. If you have to bake on the pizza oven, light a fire. You want toast marshmallows? Light a fire.
Did you get a kick out of lighting the fire?
Yeah. Do you think I did any fire lighting? Poor Dan was like a running around the place like an arsonist, lighting fires left, right, and centre. What she keeps saying is what I'm making him sound like. Because I took one look at it and I was like, oh, I don't know. I'll let the dub and the city slicker do this, because I can be very kind of like, oh, well, I'm from down the country, but I'm literally from a town, so I don't actually have that defence. But compared to my boyfriend from Blanchardstown, I seem like an absolute townie. So I get to be like, oh, we're in the countryside. You better learn to light some fires, boy.
My people.
I'm here with my people, the deer and the pheasant that we keep seeing. Yeah. So I didn't have to light them. We actually did spend a good, I'd say, hour at the beginning being like, how the hell do you light a fire? And then we found fire lighters. We would have had a hungry evening if not.
Who's your sinner of the week, Jar?
So it's bike week. Did everybody know that it's bike week? Loads of stuff happening. Our school have this thing where you can come to school early and there's like nice pastries and stuff, so the kids are up early and on time, and it's brilliant. There's like a whole cycle bus, the community guard gets involved, and I think about 200 people join it, and traffic is beeping very angrily at the children on the bike.
Are they?
There was definitely a little bit of that, and it just, like, cycling in Dublin isn't safe. That's my sinner. It doesn't feel safe, even though we've made great progress. And I don't really understand why it became a culture war issue, why it's like very, you can clearly tell that, oh, because the Greens like it, because it's, you know, a thing that people who are associated with the Green Party, it must be bad, according to all the other political parties who are like, oh, I'm like, well, we all cycled 100 years ago. It was the only mode of transport, that and trams, before we all got cars. It's like, cars aren't this kind of, I have to have this, otherwise I'm not a capitalist. It's like, loads of capitalist cycle. It's okay. It doesn't have to be. But we've turned it into this kind of, are you for us or against us? And I'm like, I'm just a cyclist.
Yeah.
Stop trying to
run me
over.
But is that, have we just manufactured that? And I say we as in
the media.
Have we to a degree? As in a lot of...
Politicians certainly seem to have adopted... You know,
but I wonder who's wagging the dog, what tail is wagging what dog there? Because this is our safe space, so I'm, you know, admit something.
It's only the radio.
Like, often when we would talk about this on the radio, it does descend into a car driver versus cyclist, which absolutely ignores the reality that most people cycling have a car,
and
most people who have a car will have been a cyclist at some stage in their life.
Yeah.
Whereas it's, if you were to just listen to the media debate, you'd swear that there's kind of two utterly distinct camps.
I don't really understand why we're not all invested in making it safer to cycle and getting more cyclists on the road, because, like, the kids cycling to school means they're getting movement before school and movement after school, and maybe they're a little less static in school than they used to be, but certainly they're still static for most of the... they're sitting in their seat for most of the day. We know there's a problem with obesity. We know there's a problem with, like, air quality. Bikes solves a lot of this, a lot of these issues. They're actually good for the roads. So there's loads of reasons for it. But it still seems kind of controversial that you'd be putting bike lanes. Like the Sandyman crew taking everybody to court because there was going to be bike lanes.
Is it because it's a contested space? They think it's the inconvenience thing. I don't mind if they invest in bike lanes. Just I don't want my car journey to be inconvenienced in the slightest bit. That's probably it, is it?
Your car journey will actually be quicker the more people who are cycling. The more people get out of cars, there will be fewer cars. You will get there faster. There's a great bit doing around at the moment of, like, reducing the speeds on motorways means that the cars get to the end of their journey faster.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's not true. I deserve to be able to drive at 80 miles an hour because it's English. And they're like, if you reduce the speed to 50, everybody gets there quicker. Like, no, not doing it. And that seems to be... is it a contested space issue? That's a real I own the world view. That's Masters of the Universe. Maybe there's a lot of that going on. I don't know. It definitely feels post-COVID. Also, people are not as good at driving as they used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're...
They're on their phones, sure.
They're definitely on their phones.
Like, they're in cabins. But I do think, like bike lanes now, like, whenever I have been driving in Dublin, and I've been cycling in Dublin, and I find it very hard to relax on a bike unless there is a segregated bike lane. I love a segregated bike lane. And I feel the same when I'm driving. Like, if I'm driving along, and I know there's a cyclist in front of me, it's so nerve-wracking. You're constantly thinking, if safely can I take over? Does everyone else hate me? Does this cyclist hate me? But if they're in a separate segregated bike lane, I know that it's fine. I'm away from it. They're away from me. We're all grand. I don't know why we don't have more of them. I'm so for it as a driver and a cyclist.
Are you nervous about letting your kids out then on their own?
So my eldest had a fairly serious bike accident in January, and that was just because it was slippy. These things can't happen, and you know that hasn't put us off getting the kids on the bike, but certainly it makes everybody think a little bit about it. And you know, it's the one thing that if the segregated bike lane exists the whole way, you're happy. Mm. But if it doesn't, if there is that space where drivers feel aggressive or are distracted and not paying attention, then the safety element does certainly loom large and you're thinking, like, should I be doing this?
Yeah.
Should I be sending my 10-year-old on a bike? I mean, we were able to cycle at 10 all the way into town, and it was totally fine.
I remember I was in London a couple of years ago, and there was kind of this traffic impasse, and there was like a kind of a scut truck thing and a bus who had to get around each other. And the bus would not go into the cycle lane to get around. And your man was kind of pointing at it, and the bus driver was like, as if like that was kind of lava. You know, the floor is lava, the road is lava. I'm not going in there. I'm not touching it. It wasn't segregated, but no way would he go into the... Now, it caused kind of chaos at this junction, but it's probably the attitude you have to have, because on my way in here today, the truck in front of me, those segregated bike lanes, just drove straight over about five of the ones. Just bum, 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 bum. Not a bother on him. Absolutely not a bother.
So scary.
Yeah.
It is, really, because their field of vision isn't great. I mean, maybe he's got incredible cameras, which I suspect he doesn't, that is showing him where everybody is.
Sure, I suspect he's got an incredible camera on the phone he was looking at. Yeah. Anyway. Listen, we're at it on that one. We're almost out of time, but we still have a few minutes for the last bit of the show, so don't go anywhere.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Yeah, Saoirse Hanley and Gerard Gilroy are both still with me. Saoirse, you wanted to kind of briefly mention how time works. Is that right?
Yes, I would like to bring that up. How much time have we got? No, I have probably mentioned this before, but I have a sister who is 10 years younger than me. She's here. I've deposited her in a pub because she turned 18 2 weeks ago. Another moment of time passing. But last night she graduated from secondary school. From my old
inverted commas, this is nonsense right here.
Well, it kind of looked like a college grad. Because she went to the same school as me, and it was just in the hall, and we got to the hall, sang a few songs, and they were like, right, get lost, don't come back.
They're right, we were wrong.
But hers was in like a hotel. There was cookies, there was tea and coffee, there was dress. This is brilliant.
This is begrudgery,
is what this is. Well, I'm just feeling bitter. I also really wanted to be kind of more noticed, as if it was like a mini reunion for me. You know, I wanted the teachers to kind of fall to their knees and be
did any of them ask who you were?
I had to go up at a certain point and like introduce myself, and you could see the wheels like turning in their head where they're like, Saoirse. The benefit is, obviously, with my sister, she looked quite like me, and we're 10 years apart, but we both kind of, I left the school and then she started, a couple years later. So that meant that I kind of kept them fresh in their memory, I hope. But first of all, I think my sister Marin would die if she wasn't at least mentioned after her very big month so far. But it was just really strange of like being in there again at this graduation, and a former girl from my year is now a teacher there as well. And all the teachers like kind of hadn't changed in 10 years. And I was just like, and I used to work in the hotel where they were hosting the graduation. And I was just like, I feel like I was here last week. Like, I just don't think it's fair that was 10 years ago. It doesn't make any sense. And I don't understand how it's working. And it's freaking me out a small bit. As well as the fact that now when my sister goes to 18ths, I go to 30ths. And that's really alarming.
You're getting old.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're
so
not so old that
say.
You wear a baseball cap to stop your head getting sunburned.
No.
Like someone here. But
nobody here is in a cap or sunglasses. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the passage of time. You wanted to mention Owen Sheehan.
I did, yeah.
Who was on the show earlier.
Oh, was he? Okay, great. Sorry, just on that point, imagine how I feel today. It is my birthday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, happy birthday, Gerard.
Thanks very much. The lead there, happy birthday. Aperol Spritz win.
It is that passage of time thing. It's real, yeah. Anyway.
It's real, isn't it?
Mm. It exists.
Yeah.
Has anyone thought about this?
Anniversaries,
yet?
They're the killer. You know?
I just ignore them.
I don't mean wedding anniversaries. I know you ignore them unintentionally. But I mean, like, anniversaries of things that happened. You know, they're like, oh, it's 10 years since marriage equality, say. That's the big thing next week.
Terrible.
I'm like,
is it 10 years?
Yeah. Oh, God, right. Sorry.
Expand on that ugh there.
Yeah, it's not the marriage. It's just the passage of time is my ugh.
We felt young at the time.
Yeah.
My wedding anniversary is next week. I remember because it's the week after my birthday. But it means there's always low level anxiety around my birthday in case I forget, which I have in my diary for a whole week. And the trouble is, you put it in for the whole week, and you're like, I'll deal with that later in the week, and then you never
just
do.
It becomes white noise then. Yeah.
Owen's podcast series called Diverted is absolutely sensational. I think there's 8 or 9 episodes out at the minute, and people are, you know, the way with the box set, you have the good intentions to listen to something. I am urging you all to get on board. He spoke with one of the survivors from the Andy's plane crash that are in the movie Alive. Like, what's it like to eat another human being's flesh is a question that Owen gets to ask of these guys. There's a former Mayo underage hurler who's now an expert on taking mushrooms, who guides Owen through his experience of it up the mountains, I think in Mexico. There's the Irishman lost in the wilds of Patagonia, that's Owen. And there's the stories of how blood must be spilled up the mountains in Bolivia to keep Mother Nature happy. Owen doesn't do it and then reaps a terrible, she reaps, wreaks a terrible vengeance on him. So anyway, look, it's absolutely sensational. I'm clearly biased, but it's worth it.
Yeah, Diverted, Owen Sheehan's podcast. You can find it on all major platforms, wherever you get them. Ger Gilroy and Saoirse Handy, thanks a million.
Enjoy
what is left of the good weather.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and same to everybody listening. Off the Ball, they are up next, and I'll be back on Monday from 4. Have a great weekend, everyone.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.